Okay, what was that? Okay, my chair is making weird noises again. All right, so I'm going to watch this video. Kind of expected this was coming, because some of the quotes that have come from the Vatican over the years where they don't want a removal of separation of church and state. They want to be able to join church and state together. I just got this video. And this is Mike Johnson, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson in Congress or the Senate. I don't know which it is. It doesn't matter to me. He says this, it seems foreign, but I'm bringing it back. Speaker Mike Johnson claims he will single-handedly destroy separation of church and state. What a perfect timing for him to say that, huh? Him being Roman Catholic, too. And the fact that the Pope is an American Pope now. And first and second beast are on the same soil. I'm excited. I just don't know what to say. I am literally speechless because this is what we've been waiting for, brothers and sisters. That narrative to be declared on camera like that, to be openly saying this on camera means the ball's already rolling. And yeah, amen, Brother Jim. How quickly he became, he was a cardinal for three years or something. And just like Obama, he was in community service or something, and then he becomes a senator for, I don't know how many months, it wasn't even a year from what I understand, then he becomes president, and all the things that he brought into the into our government, and all the Muslim stuff, and then a homosexual marriage and all that. This is no mistake, the way they get these things done quickly like this. You're going to have to get that link from, thanks, Anthony, he just put it in the room. So let me click on it, because it's a video, and I'm not going to play it because, you know, YouTube will just pull the video and declare, you know, copyright this or whatever. But yeah. And he's talking to, who's he talking to? That guy looks familiar. He looks like a preacher. I wonder if that's that preacher that I called on the radio that one time when he was talking about the secret rapture. And I was a baby Christian. I was still a Sunday keeper. And it was one of those call-in shows. And so I called and I asked him a question he could not answer about the secret rapture. I said, is this something? That is that guy. Is that guy the bald guy? Is he a preacher? Or, you know, wannabe, preacher wannabe? I'm thinking that is. If somebody knows his name, put it in the room. Greg Laurie. That's him. Greg Laurie. That's the guy. And this is like, before I was even a Sabbath keeper, so it had to be like 35, 40 years ago. I was already heavy into the Word. I was about to get out of breaking God's law. I had already left the Catholic Church. And the bald guy, he's Greg Laurie. He's a preacher. And he used to have a radio show back in the 80s, late 80s. Well, I knew about it in the late 80s, and I called in. And I knew what he was preaching was error. And so he finally picked up the, you know, because he got a bunch of people standing in line on the phone. And I got on the phone, on the radio, and he says, you know, what's your question? And so I says, well, it's not so much a question. I don't think I said that. I just said, well, I read one or two verses, and I said, how does this declare a secret rapture or something like that? I says, how does this not contradict that what you're saying or something? I can't remember exactly how I put it. And he just hemmed and hawed and then hung up, and then the next guy starts talking. He didn't give me the time of day. I wish I could find that old radio broadcast. I wonder if they have some early stuff from his day where he was talking about the secret rapture. Yeah, amen, Brother Gilbert. Fifth month, 2025. So. So he's going to single-handedly destroy separation of church and state. And, well, that's not to be surprised, but, you know, how quickly this is all happening now? That has to happen exceptionally quick, just like Sister White prophesied. It will. Somebody got that quote where it'll be rapid movements? Just look at the word rapid in her writings. Yeah, we don't have to set any dates. The Vatican set the date for their one world government, and they haven't changed it. Because you can't change that date because they're basing it on what they're seeing in their telescope that they have in Arizona called Lucifer. They actually have a telescope called Lucifer in Arizona. And they're looking at the Orion Nebula, and they know what just came out of the Oort cloud. And that's why that one, Achan Iscariot guy started declaring that I was talking about some magician named Enki. He's demon-possessed. That Achan Iscariot guy, he's going out there trying to make people think that the truth that the Lord's not giving him any airplay, though. He's not getting any converts or anything like that. But the thing is that the hatred is off the chart because the truth we present, the thing about Enki, it's a comet that's going to be in our orbit. Well, it always crosses our orbit, but, you know, it just so happens in the year 2030, they're saying it's going to hit. If not directly, the tail will hit, and the tail has a 20-mile chunk of ice in it. What's Plague 7? Hail. And the last plague, that's ice. The comets are made out of ice. And so, and again, we're not setting dates. The Pope did because he said he wants his one world government done, finalized in 2030. He wanted to do the Mark of the Beast enforced by buying and selling in 2027, and he still might do it, yeah. That's 2 years from now, well, 1.5. He might still do that. But he stopped talking about it. Well, now he's dead, but this Pope will probably bring it up again, no doubt. But just try and stop the calamities by preventing buying us. You know, just shut us up. But they stopped talking about that date because they don't have any control over anything. Neither does Satan. Satan doesn't know the day or the hour either. But, you know, we can know the season like he does, and we know we're in it. And after Enki was discovered to be hitting our orbit, at the same time, because it always crosses our orbit. It just so happens that we're going to be in the exact same neighborhood when it crosses the orbit this time in this particular year, 2030. But then they found another comet that was coming out of the Oort cloud that they're saying is going to hit anywhere between 29 and 31. And it's massive compared to Enki. And then they've got another one that came out that's going to hit around the exact same time, you know, 29 or 31. They haven't even been able to measure it. It's so big. That's Plague 7. And again, we don't know the day or the hour. They haven't set the date for the death decree. That's when Plague 1 starts. And then we can kind of like figure out the math, but it doesn't matter at that point because who are we going to preach to? We're done preaching. Plague 1 hits, we're done preaching. The only sermons we're going to be preaching then is edification types. In other words, helping those that are huddled in the caves or in the forest or in the hills, letting them know everything's good. Just keep your eyes on the eastern sky. He's coming. He's going to be here soon, less than a year, because the plagues fall within a day or within a year. But the last 15 days of Plague 6 is what the Bible calls the 1 hour with the beast, or the New World Order, as they call it today. The Pope set the date of 2030 because he saw the comets. Or Satan saw the comets, because the Pope is a devil worshiper. Anybody that's seen my Vatican page on the website about how they even created a building that's shaped like a serpent where the Pope speaks between two fangs inside its mouth? Yeah, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But they know it's the ball is rolling so far down the hill that the majority of the people believe Satan now. And they think that little remnant that's left is no threat. And all I got to say is, how well did that work out for Goliath? He died big time. Hold on, I just got another text. Okay, thanks, Anthony. Thanks, bro. But I got to watch this video and see what he says. But yeah, we're in the last generation. We're in that season. We don't know the day or the hour anymore than the Pope does, or even Satan. But we know the season, and we're in it. Praise God. And so we got to get ready. We got to get ready, ready, ready. But where was that one? Oh, yeah. And I don't want to go into too much detail about the campground, you know, being Sabbath. You know, the guys and I are going to, you know, we're going to get together tomorrow in the men's meeting, and we're going to discuss what we're going to do or how we're going to get around this. We're not going to use this campground because they Because, you know, when I talked to him originally, because it's a Methodist campground, and they say any denomination's welcome and stuff like that. He even says, oh, we've had Muslims here before. So they're kind of ecumenical. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how badly it was. So I went over there, me and Fran met him and talked to him and says, oh, yeah, we don't evangelize anybody or nothing like that. And I says, oh, okay. Well, then we started looking at it, and we thought it was perfect. And then they says, okay, well, if you're ready to go, let's sign a contract. So he emails me the contract. And just to put it in a brief, I'm going to read it to the brothers in, tomorrow night. But just to put it briefly, it's more or less saying that you have to agree to our philosophies and our mission in order to use our campground. And yeah, I ain't signing that. Yeah. And then I says, you know, I can't sign it. Is there any way that we can have this deleted from the contract? She goes, Erasmus says we can scratch it out and initial it. I says, well, wait a second. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think that's legal. It's not, because if you wanted to take us to court, you can drag us in and say, hey, look, these guys agreed. They're ecumenical. Satan will use anything he can to try to make us look bad. And so, yeah, I'm not even going to take that chance. They would literally, because she says, otherwise we have to get with our lawyers. And I'm thinking, well, that's what you're going to have to do if you want us to be there. But I don't think it's going to happen. So pray, my brothers and sisters. The Lord knows we must meet. He's the one that told Sister White about camp meetings, and we have been doing camp meetings, and we have been blessed, especially the last one. Every time we do a camp meeting, the most recent one was, you know, the previous one was like, wow, that was off the chart compared to the previous one. And we thought the previous one was off the chart. So the Lord will make a way. Amen, my sister. Amen. So pray, 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 everybody. Pray earnestly, you know, seven times. Let's do like Elijah did. And the Lord will make a way. Even if we, now here's a question I wanted to, since everybody's here, well, not everybody. Well, I mean, that's possible. That's right. We're on YouTube too now. So I forgot we're doing this stream, the YouTube stream. But, there's a possibility that, like, if we buy land next to BLM land or something like that, where we can, the only problem with buying land, our name's on it. So they're going to know where we're at. But, like, if we were to buy some land, and put a pavilion on it, just so, like a big pavilion in case there's, like, it rains. The Lord always, every time we had a camp meeting, it never rained. We had some drizzling, and at night while we're sleeping, it would rain. But during the day, he always kept us so blessed. And so I was thinking, like, if we bought some land, if the Lord blessed us with some land nearby, you know, until our health gets better, we're not going to be cruising much. So, you know, nearby. And we could put a pavilion on it, a really nice one, and even hopefully get electricity in it too, depending upon where it's located. And then, or even put some cabins. It depends how quickly, because a Yoder's building, you can have delivered. They'll deliver it. And, but what do y'all think about using tents? In other words, have a camp meeting where we literally learn firsthand how to forage and how to literally be on the run. You know? Amen. It's a preparation. Yeah, September's still going to be the month we're thinking, sister. Around, we were thinking the first full week, like September 7th to the 11th. But if we bought our own land, we'll go all the way to the 13th, which is Sabbath, or the 14th, which is Sunday. Everybody cruise home on Sunday. You know, because the only reason we don't do Sabbath at these camp meetings is because of who knows what they're going to be doing there on the Sabbath, and we don't want to be, you know, vexed. So, but tents, yeah. And we could just bring tents and porta potties. and then, you know, cleaning yourself, you know, like with showering and stuff. I was thinking of being in the motorhome, but then I was thinking maybe not. I says, how come he's sleeping in a bed and I'm on the ground? You know, so I wouldn't be doing that probably. But maybe the motorhome would be good for cooking, you know, that and the fact that it's got a generator. So, but, yeah, I know the portable camp showers, and yeah, like you're just hanging in a tree. And it heats up from the sunlight. You know, like when we can't buy and sell, just put a garden hose on your roof, preferably a black garden hose, put it on your roof, fill it with water. And, you know, and then whenever you need to take a shower, just open the spigot. It's going to be hot water. So you better have a way to get, you know, like pump up water from the well, because you won't have electricity. So you can pump it And yeah, they have air conditioning for tents too, but we're not going to be able to carry air conditioners with us when we're on the run. So something to think about though. But or we can get a gigantic blow up tent, like some of them you can get, you can rent them like the old fashioned candy stripers, but it just blows up. And we can meet in there, but, you know, especially in this neck of the woods, and especially yesterday, the wind, the whole back of the barn that's on the land next to our land is on our land. It just got ripped off and just, it's ruined. And like the house looks like it was Baha'ing or something. There's mud all over the walls and stuff. And I went out looking around earlier today, and I just out there in the grass for a few minutes, and my shoes got all dusted up from the dirt that's in the grass. I mean, there's dirt everywhere because it was a dust storm. And on top of that, there was water, you know, rain in it. And so it made it stick to everything. So that'd be good. A cloud pillar overhead. Amen. Well, a solar generator. I wouldn't take anything with me at all. Just like when the Lord said in, Matthew 24, when he was telling them that 44 years later, you know, 70 AD was going to happen. And then he says, don't even take your coat. Don't even go in the house and get a change of clothing. Just go, run. When you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the holy place, you know, Judea, when Cestius came. Well, Cestius came surround Jerusalem. And the Christians knew that. That was the sign foretold by Christ. But they also knew, and Jesus didn't say anything about this, but they also know something's got to happen to where we can go. Because Jesus also said, pray that it doesn't happen to you on Sabbath. Why? Because of the needle gates. If they had to flee on Sabbath, all the gates, the big gates are closed, except the needle gates. And the needle gates are like a big door. You can't get a camel through it unless you get the camel to go on his knees, and you have to unload him and stuff like that. And so, and why not? And why is that a big deal? Well, if all the Christians decided to flee the city, they all got to stand in line to get out of those needle gates, and they're getting noticed too easily. So if it happens in the middle of the week, they can just go out like everybody else with the big gates that are open for buying and selling and going out throughout the week, because all business is closed on Sabbath, and that's why he said what he said. Well, Cestius did back off, and so the Christians just skedaddled. They left, and then Titus came back in 70 AD. Now check that out. The Christians left and stayed gone. From 66 till 70, they go, oh, everything's cool, let's go back. No, Jesus didn't say to go back. And so they left. All the Jews that stayed there. And then Titus came back, surrounded the city again. Then all the Jews were there. And 1,100,000 of them were slaughtered by the Romans. And the temple was destroyed. That's why Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And the reason he said it that way is because each stone was inlaid with gold. And the soldiers were specifically told, don't mess with the temple, because they wanted to keep it as their trophy, if you will, the Romans. But the Lord's prophet, you can't change Christian prophecy, you can't, no matter what. Somebody threw a torch into the temple and started on fire. And then all of a sudden, all the soldiers just flooded the temple and started taking it apart. And the only way to get that gold out of those stones that the building was made out of was to literally dismantle the building to get at that gold, because they had a booty license. They could, like, if they destroyed something, they could go in their pillage and take everything that's out of the dead bodies, you know, their pockets and stuff, or their buildings. Well, so they just figured they're going to go and pillage, and they took the temple apart and got all the gold and the only way to get the gold is to take each stone off another, just like Jesus said. So regardless of what the, you know, whoever their leader was at the time, I think Titus might have been the one that said, don't touch the temple. They destroyed it anyway. They took it apart because they wanted all that stuff. Oh, look at that. Let's combine church and state. Is that an article, Jesse? An actual? Because that's what I need. I don't want the video. I want to be able to take apart the article. But yeah, because that's what the Pope literally said in some of the quotes I have. Let me see. John Paul II said it, in fact. Let me go to, so I guess we're going to do this today instead of what I was thinking of doing, but it's okay. So let me get the browser open, if it works, because there's some things I haven't tested yet. Confirm, set later. No, 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 no. You're not my default. All right, so can we put the browser in the Roam here? Go to the ministry site. Go to RCC Expo. Go to the Popes of Rome. There's a new link, Pope Leo. But go to John Paul II. And I think somewhere in here, I'm just going to F3 to page. I got time to read all this. The Office of Inquisition. Let's see if there's another one here. Where's the first one at? Oh, okay. It's in here somewhere. I'm pretty sure it's on this page where John Paul II literally says to join the church and state together. He doesn't want to abolish whatever. I can't remember exactly how he put it, if I could find it here. Because it was an article they were explaining how they were upset that John Paul II kept saying that he wanted to meld the church and state together. And then, it reminded me of that dream I had about him doing that. And then, let's see. Okay, it's not here. Okay, it's not here. So maybe it's on the Words of the Beast page. Okay, let me go Words of the Beast. Oh, it moved down because I made new things in there. Abolish church and state separation. There it is. Okay, here it is. First one. He did this back in 1981. It says, consequently, John Paul was criticized by liberal and moderate politicians and newspapers for transgressing the boundary between church and state. And then in 1991, it says, in sermons based on the Ten Commandments, John Paul II is what they're really mentioning, is denounced excessive materialism, divorce, contraception, and the separation of church and state. And then in 1991, Time magazine said, in late April, the bishops urged that the new constitution exclude any provision for the separation of church and state. Instead, they suggested exceptional emphasis should be laid on the need of cooperation between the state and the Catholic Church. Just like, who put this in here? That somebody put in a quote from this guy. Or they want to keep, thanks, Anthony. Yeah, let's combine church and state. And he says, yeah, let's combine church and state. And he says, I'm using the Bible or the New Testament for my basis. Hold on. Okay. It's my midday prayer alarm. So, all right. But can you all, if this is in the MSN, let me just see. I want that one from Microsoft News Network because they're a bunch of lefties and they usually get it right when it comes to really sticking their foot in their mouths. So let me see. Oh, no, that's the video, right? That's the video. Where's the one? Somebody literally had, or did you watch the video and hear him say that he wants the removal of church and state separation? Jesse, could you email that to me? Thanks. And the one on the Tribune, too, the Texas Tribune. I used to live in the Chicago Tribune. I delivered the Chicago Tribune, the heaviest paper on the planet, and I had to put them all in my little bag on the front of my bicycle, and I was like 11. That's my first job, 10 or 11, something like that. And I did it during winter because I was going to take all the money that I made and buy myself a nice new bike with the magenta color, which is my favorite color, purple. Well, magenta is how they called it. It was a 5-speed, slick on the back, and a sissy bar, which later I put the tail of a raccoon on it, dead raccoon on the side of the road. You know, just cut the tail off, put it on your bike. It's not fun to do because it usually stinks for a little while, but, you know, boys will be boys. So, but, yeah, in the spring I got that bike. Thanks, Jesse. My little brother. I hope it doesn't offend you when I call you my little brother. I don't know. Okay, I think that's it for that. But yeah, I can't wait to get into the articles about this, the separation of church and state thing. Man. Yeah, amen. Amen, Jesse. Thank you. But yeah, I just, I want to make the, like the sermon I just did, I'm going to make it into a blog and then I'll work on that church and state thing. I think I should make a video about the church and state thing, but I just ain't got time. I mean, some of my work has been cut back a little bit by moving the servers out of the house so I can go mobile, and I want to go mobile, but I got to get better first. Things have been happening. So please, thank you for keeping me in your prayers. And, yeah. Okay. And I hope and pray that little birdie survived. We get some worms for it, which isn't hard to do. Our land is so blessed. I mean, it's just, we got worm piles everywhere. You know, sometimes a worm will come out and dump a bunch of brand new soil. Worm castings, that's what it's called. And we got these little piles all over the place. Every time you dig in our land, it's just, we got night crawlers and the red wigglers. And those are the two worms I used to do when I went fishing. I don't fish anymore, but, and I always threw them back. Well, when I was a kid, I ate a couple of them, but I usually just throw them back now. Always did. I don't fish at all now, though, what I mean. Start at the 2-minute mark. Okay, thanks. All right, well, I'm going to get going. I'm going to go out and pray a little bit and thank the Lord that we're living in that last. Did anybody find that quote about the rapid? Let me see if I can find it really quick here. Rapid movements. See if I can beat Anthony on this one. Oh, it would help if I spelled it right. Fat fingers. Well, not really. Let's see. Danny beat, oh, she did. Okay, all right, that's what I was going to look up, rapid ones. Okay, it's in 1892, paragraph 10 of letter 21A, or and Sister Hannah posted it too. Oh, okay. All right, so it says, the world is to be no criterion for us. Great changes are very soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. And it says, agencies from beneath have been set in operation by the powers of darkness, and they are working in secrecy and have advanced faster than any of us have calculated. Satan, with his whole confederacy of evil, is stirred to intense fervor, and plans that have been made only wait a favorable moment for open development. All things are getting into a state of readiness, and while those who believe have been contending over little matters, drawing apart from each other, each seeking to have and vindicate his own way, you know, like the fanatics, the powers of evil have been strengthening for the last great crisis. And so those fanatics and the people that have blessed our number bad are going to try to get back into the church, and if they can't get in, they're going to attack it. They're either going to try to get back in to cause it to fall, or if we won't let them in, they'll just attack it. And that's already begun. The people that have left, the ones that left bad, they've been attacking us for years, and we're still here. So, and we're going to be here all the way up until we ascend. And so we know in whom we have believed. So isn't that what, I think that's what Sister White said. That was her last words when she died. Yeah, I heard about a man. Yeah, there's always been those men pretending to be Allah and then Jesus and all this other stuff. So, yeah, and there's a new one now. And so, whoop-de-doo. It's not like it wasn't expected. I did a video about them guys, too, where we had five of them on the planet at one time. And this is weird, too. The one that was in Miami, literally, and he talked his daughter into doing it, too, and everybody in his church did it. And he said, a show of loyalty unto him, this is how far easily he was able to hornswoggle his congregation. He says, putting 666 on your forehead or on your body somewhere on a tattoo is a show of loyalty and a rebuke against Satan or something like that, you know, some kind of ridiculous. You know, everybody got the 666 on their bodies. Yeah, the Mahdi guy, he's been around for many years. You know, there's the one with the hand that used to show up on windows, and he would do these holographic things, but everybody thought they were miracles, and, you know. Yeah, I remember about him in the Fire Talk days. It was like 30 years ago, so it's been a while, or 20. So, anywho, I'm going to get going. So, looks like we're a lot closer than we thought. Yeah. Amen to that, Brother Anthony. We're a lot closer than we thought. And again, this makes me sad when I think about the people that should have been here that weren't here today for what was declared. And if we tell them you need to hear the sermon or the fellowship or anything from today, I wonder, would they actually sit down and listen to something for 30 minutes or 45 minutes? Well, the sermon was 48. Yeah, 48 minutes and 37 seconds. So God bless everybody. Those of you that are listening on the streams, we're going to shut it down, and we're not going to do it on tonight. WTPR, I'm sorry. Last night I forgot to turn it on after I left. I'll be turning it on like an old sermon or a study. I'll turn on WTPR because we got that back up and running. And but we don't do the 7 o'clock at tonight. We're not going to do that on WTPR or any stream because it's private. And, you know, our prayers, and we got a lot to pray about now. We all got to get ready. And, so let's try not to be too routine in our prayers, you know, and pray as, you know, as often as we can, you know, and praise God that we meet every week for prayer meetings and study. So 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight. See you then. Those of you that can make it, and those of you on the streams, hope to see you there too. And it'll be in Telegram, obviously, but it won't be in the streams. So God bless everybody, and we will see you tonight. Love you. Sabbath blessings.